transformed by the living word. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the word transform, transformation. Transformation is such a big, it's such a daunting kind of image, and I wonder what comes to your mind. I can share two images, two things that come to mind whenever I think of transformation. The first comes from an illustration that was given in a book, After You Believe. It's by Tom Wright. He's a British theologian down south. In this book, After You Believe, he talks about this event called Miracle on the Hudson. I think this has been remade into a movie, Sully, as well, with, is it Tom Hanks? I think it's Tom Hanks. And it's about emergency situation in a flight in which the captain, Captain Sullenberger, but Sully, he does this heroic feat of saving the airplane, right? Basically, of course, the story is much more complicated. The movie is much more complicated than that. But the illustration that Tom Wright brings from this incident was the way in which Captain Sully, he conducted all these wise and courageous split-second decisions, right? A lot of split-second decisions that saved the day, basically. And Tom Wright was focusing on how a lifetime of training, right, as a pilot. After a lifetime of training, Captain Sully was able to make this split-second procedure that saved the day. In a way that courage and wisdom and expertise becomes second nature. So for Captain Sully, because of all the training that he's done, he's been being wise, being brave becomes second nature, right? You understand the metaphor being used here. Rather than second nature being rash and stupid or making rash decisions, because of all the training, his second nature, or rather his nature, is to be wise and to be courageous. The instinct, the good instinct of aviation, of navigation, he was able to become natural in being brave and in being wise. The other example that comes to mind when I think of transformation is, in general, good guitarists. But today I thought I'll share something that B.B. King, a blues guitarist from the U.S., in 1985, he's performing in this massive stadium, Live at the Apollo. And midway through his riff, the guitar string breaks. And, I mean, that's like stress level, right? You're doing a solo and your guitar string breaks. I don't know how he's going to rescue himself here. But the way that B.B. King, for all his expertise, decades and decades of playing guitar, of honing his skill, he's able to just carry on, maintain his swag. And I mean, you should watch the video if you get a chance. Like, he literally changes the guitar strings like midway, like coil all it up and, you know, like plays all of that. It's just amazing to watch. And you get the sense that he has come to this place in which this becomes his nature, right? His second nature, to perform, to be expert, to not miss a beat, to be entertaining. All of that becomes second nature, that even when something breaks, something tragic happens, he's able to keep going and he's able to maintain the situation, right? These two images come to mind when I think of transformation, because it speaks to the grand picture of transformation, which is shaped by everyday practice, like the routine and habitual practices that make this huge, massive vision of transformation. How did B.B. King become who he is? It's because of the decades and hours of practice that he has put in, of changing guitar strings, of being in a stressful situation and learning to handle all of that situation. Transformation is a big thing. Change is a big thing, but these two examples remind us that they take place because of small steps, because of small habitual things that we incorporate in our lives, right? And of course, this is what the minor prophets that we looked at towards the end of last year. The minor prophets would often, if you remember, they would often talk about this day of the Lord in the future when we will naturally obey God. When it is natural for us humans to not sin, right? When it becomes natural for us to do what is right, to be kind, to be just, to take care of one another, the minor prophets would often think of this future day of transformation when godliness and righteousness is not even second nature, it is our nature, right? And so this vision of transformation, grand transformation that we have in Scripture, we are reminded that we approach this this change through small habits, small things, rhythms of grace that we sung just some moments ago. The rhythms that we have in our lives, rhythms of grace that move us slowly and gradually towards this goal of transformation. By invoking these metaphors, I'm trying to make the connection between small steps along the way that lead to big transformation in our lives. And today, of course, our focus is on the Word of God. We are transformed by the living Word. We are transformed because we have this lamp to our feet that guides us and helps us to go in the right direction, that shines a light to our path. So the question for us that I want us to be thinking about is, how is it that the Word of God can transform us? Does it transform us by immediately converting and changing us at the spot? I think it's more like the Word of God transforms us because it takes us on this journey of small steps that leads us and ultimately on the day in which we are slowly being transformed and we become fully transformed on that day. So that's the focus of today's reflection. I think it's worth reading some of these texts from Psalm 119. Let me read first from Psalm 119, 105 to 112. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hand, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is a song, Psalm 119, you may know. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. Let me just double check how many verses there are, actually. There's like 176 verses in Psalm 119. And the entire chapter, Psalm 119, is a psalm, a love song, if you like, about the Word of God. It's like the whole chapter is about the Word of God. Every verse you note here, it's a nod to the Word of God, what the Word of God does. So it's a really long song, long epic of love to the Word of God. And so this passage, of course, is, I think, quite a memorable one because it gives the imagery of the lamp for my feet and a light to my path. Now let's dwell on this image for a bit. What does it mean that God's word is a lamp to my path? The image here is, of course, a modern kind of rendition, but a lamp. A lamp is something that gives light on a small circle. It doesn't give light for like 100 meters or something. It gives light, throws a light for a few feet in front of you. It's a small circle. You don't know what's beyond that. You see what's immediately in front of you, and that's all you see. It remains, the rest of the world remains dark, if you like. It helps you to see the short term, what's ahead of you. And I think that's quite an interesting metaphor for us to think about, because I wonder how you think or you approach God's word. Do you think of it like, think of it like a map that has everything sorted out? Do you think of it as providing you some theory of everything that should give you all the answers to all the questions, a theory of everything? maybe we approach the Word of God expecting to that it will give us the answers to all the questions, the complete view, if you like, a whole map of life. But what this image shows us is that it's more like the Word of God throws enough light for us to make, say make the next step or next few steps. Life has to be lived. It has to be stepped into. It cannot be known from far away. It has to be stepped in. God's guidance, in other words, to put it another way, God's guidance to us comes to us in the short space ahead of us, as we live and as we move on, not from the abstract of knowing everything. That seems to be not how the way God leads us. It's to show us what is visible next. And just enough, if sometimes from my own experience as well, I know just enough so that I know what to do in the next immediate. And 5 years down the line, even 1 year later, I don't know where we would be. The metaphor of the lamp for my feet reminds us that God's word leads us enough just for the next step, not necessarily to give us the whole map of our whole life. Of course, it's worth thinking about this. If God's word, if the word of God is a lamp for my feet, we do have to question. Today is we live in an age of information. We have YouTube, people telling us almost literally anything you want to know, like any question you have. You've got ChatGPT who can, you know, advise us on anything, who can guide us, if you like. If you push this metaphor of light, we live in a time when everything is bright, like there's light everywhere. There's like AI light, there's like other vloggers light, there's like websites, there are professionals, there are people who are trained, experts, there are biographies of people who have gone through. Surely there will be some guidance somewhere there, to the point that we would not need to rely on this archaic, old school kind of lamp, right? Do we need light in today's world? I think it's interesting that if we think deeper, the Word of God, the lamp, the short term, the short range lamp still remains relevant for us. I think that's because although we might think that there's information everywhere, there are still things that are new. For example, our own lives, the lives that we live, our own experiences, our own struggles, these are all, if you think about it, these are all still dark territories that we nobody could really advise us. There are still things that we don't know, that no one has been in our lives, our future. And we need the light, the lamp, the torchlight of God's word, no matter how many experts we have in our day and age. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it's a bit small there, but Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." The things that even we, like our experiences, our future, our own personality, our own quirkiness, the depths of who we are that others do not know, that experts can never understand, that even people who are closest to us may not understand, even sometimes we misunderstand, the Bible says that the Word of God is able to cut into those places and know us for who we really are. The Holy Spirit who lives in us is with us in those depths, who knows us and who can shine the light for us so that we know what to do in our lives. Again, that doesn't mean that He will tell us step 1, 2, 3 of what we need to do, but this reminds us that the Word of God knows us. It's alive and active. It knows us much more than any experts, any advices could ever reach us. And it's able to inform us and shine the light for us so that we know what to do. So, yes, we live in a time of information overload, but we still need the Word of God, because this is not just mere information. This is the living Word of God that is able to look deep into our hearts and understand us and lead us, guide us in the right direction. We need the Word of God also because in a world, even in a world saturated with knowledge, with information, we need the lamb, because what does this lamb do specifically? The psalmist reminds us that this is God's word. This is your word. It's not just random information. It's God's word. And because of that, it leads us towards God. It leads us towards becoming transformed into God's character. Not just to go anywhere in our lives, but it leads us to the road towards God. Right, and I think this is what is communicated in verse 89 to 91, Psalm 89 to 91. This is what it says: Your word, Lord, is eternal; it stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures. Your law endures to this day, for all things serve you. The first line: Your word, Lord, is eternal. That's quite. It's a short sentence, but it's so profound. It says, your word. It doesn't say the Bible. It doesn't say the scripture. It says your word. There's a personal touch to it, right? This is not just wise words. This is God's word. There's a person behind it. It tells us about God. It tells us about who he is, what he desires, who he is like. It tells us about the God who is behind this word. Theologians would say the Bible is the self-revelation of God. It's where God reveals himself. And so the Word of God is important as a lamp for us because it's not just information. It is God's revelation to us. It is God's personal word through which we come to know who he is, about his faithfulness, about his holiness, about his love, truth, and judgment, and all of that. So the focus in this passage that this text reminds us is that the focus is on the person behind the word. In fact, as I said earlier, the entire Psalm 119 is a love song to the Word of God, a love song to God's Word, to knowing God through God's Word. So I think the point of this is that I think it's important for us to remember that when we read the Bible, we don't just read for reading's sake, but we read it because we desire to know the person that is behind the word. We read because we desire to become more like the person that the Word of God tells us about. So the Word of God, the lamb, is important for us because even in a time of information overload, there are places deep in our hearts, in our own lives, which are still dark, where we need a friend who loves us, where we need somebody who comes beside us and lead us, and that is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God who will lead us even in the depths of our lives. And secondly, we still need the lamp of the Word of God because it's not just information. It is God's Word, and it leads us to knowing God better. The path that the Word of God leads us on, the road that the light leads us on is the road towards knowing God and towards becoming more like him. That's a transformation. If we follow the leading of the Word of God, that is the road that he leads us on. Not just on any on the road of our picking, that we pick the road and we expect God's Word to lead us in that road in our own agenda. This is the road that God leads us on. It's not our road that we kind of use this as an instrument to gain success or to gain confidence or fill in the blanks to that. This is the road, the path of transformation towards God and towards becoming more like God, that the Word of God becomes a lamp to us. And I think that's quite obvious when we go back to the examples of Captain Sully and the guitarist B.B. King. Because we ultimately become what we behold, as some would say. We become what we behold. Whatever we spend our focus and our attention on, we become that. The guitarist who focuses and spends time on learning the right techniques, being confident in guitar, will become exactly that. The pilot in training who spends his time focusing on the rules, all the techniques of aviation, will precisely become that. We become what we behold. And so if we behold God's word, if we focus our attention on how God has revealed himself to us, if we focus ourselves on God's word, which is infused with knowledge about who God is, what he's like, we behold that, and obviously, naturally, that's what we become as well. And so the path that the word of God leads us on is towards becoming more like its author and being transformed in his image. As they say, if you soak in the works of the expert, whether that's books or art or literature or music, you soak in the works of the expert in order to become like one. In the same way, we soak in God's word in our everyday lives so that we become more like him. Right? I think that's quite simple in its logic. Simple and logical, even in terms of music or in terms of the other trainings that we may be familiar with. So maybe perhaps you're looking at this new year ahead of you, and maybe you have the energy to think about resolutions and long-term goals and direction, all of that. Maybe you don't. The good thing here is that we need to, in a way, worry about the small steps that we do every day. We don't need to be having these grand visions of heroism and saving the day, all of that. We just need to worry about the small steps that we incorporate every day in our lives. Even if thinking about long-term can feel overwhelming, and sometimes they do when we are stuck with so many concerns of our everyday life, even when that becomes overwhelming, we can focus on the small steps that God is calling us to today in his word. And so the thought that I want to leave us with is, what small steps of faith do you think you can take so that you would let God's word lead your path? What small steps would you take in your life, in your everyday, so that you might allow God's word to light your path? I just put together a short way, hopefully this will be memorable. LAMP, around the acronym LAMP, listen to God in his word. I want to emphasize, it's not just listen to God's word. I want to just twist that a little bit and say, listen to God in his word, not just read the book, read the Bible in its abstraction, but as you read that, you think about what does this tell you about who God is and knowing God better. So listen to God in his word. Secondly, to attend to the Holy Spirit in prayer. I think it's important for us to remember that this transformation that we are thinking about is not our work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so reading God's word has to be coupled with a sense of prayer, a sense of openness to what God will do to us, the transformation that we desire. We cannot bring our own transformation. It is only God who can transform us. And so as we read, we attend to the Holy Spirit in prayer and pray, Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you. Shape my heart and do your work in me. Thirdly, to meditate in order to be transformed. I think to meditate is more than just to read. It means to think, to talk about it with friends. How about this? We normalize talking about scripture, or normalize talking about faith in our homes, among our friends. Well, don't force it among people who don't have the same belief, but at least like, chat about it candidly, normally. This is part of our normal life. So we don't need to be. We can speak about this in our homes, at our tables. Think about it, mull over it, and discuss with your friends, with your family, and let the Word of God sink deep within us and transform how I think and desire. So to meditate, not just to read, but to dwell on it and to think about it. And finally, to practice obedience, to put into practice. Going back to the image of the lamp, The lamp can show the way for 100 years, but it will never make a difference if you don't step out. If you don't take that step to move forward in the path, the lamp can keep lamping 100 years, but it's not going to make any change. And I think the key is that we need to put into practice the things that we read, the things that we gain from the meditation. And so to put into practice and to pray, Lord, give me the grace to take the next step, the next faithful step that you are calling me to take. I don't know, as you scan through this, there may be areas in which you are doing okay. There may be areas in which you need to focus more. Maybe you need to not necessarily read more of Bible. Maybe you need to be talking about it more, mulling over it more. Or maybe you need to be incorporating a bit of prayer and surrender to the Holy Spirit. So there may be areas in which you want to focus in. But I would really encourage you, as we've been talking about the metaphors as well, that the grand image of being transformed, which is, by the way, promised to us in the Word of God. It's not something that we are making up. That is the whole point of the Christian faith, that we are being made into His likeness. And that grand vision is shaped by what we do on in the rhythms of grace that we incorporate in our lives. And so I really would encourage you, as we think about transformed by the living Word this year, really think about in what way would you like to see that happen, and what things would you like to explore along those lines towards that goal of being transformed by the living Word. So that's kind of the slight small challenge that I'd like to put forward to us individually as families and even as a church. Which direction, what steps of faith are we going to take as we begin this year? With that said, let me close in prayer. Let's take a moment of silence, and as we allow this silence to be a time for us to think and to reflect on the imagery of the lamp on our feet, that we might be attentive and we might be submissive to what God is calling us in His Word today. Father in heaven, in a world that is filled with light, or what seems like light, in a world in which we are constantly being distracted, Lord, help us to look to you, to look to your word, and to attend to your Holy Spirit, to attend to the lamp that desires to lead us in the right way. Lord, help us this new year and even beyond to walk this life of faith. And in a practical way, Lord, how might we love your word more, love you more through your word, rather? How might we incorporate it in our daily lives or in our regular lives? Lord, help us, give us wisdom, and help us to be creative, to create those spaces in our daily routines so that we are attentive to your leading. We thank you, Lord, for your word that comes to us today. We thank you for your scripture that is truly a light to us. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be obedient and open to its leading. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.